following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right. Good morning again, folks. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am so happy that you are here worshiping with us this morning. We have just about made it through our 40 days of Lent. Since Ash Wednesday, we've had five Sundays now. Today is the sixth Sunday, where we've focused on this season of Lent. And the season will continue all the way actually through Saturday until Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And Lent has been marked by practices of repentance, of sin, of self-examination, of fasting, and really more intentionally spending time with the Lord. And my hope and my prayer for you and for me, really, is that this Lent has been a season that has allowed us to jumpstart our relationships with God, a chance for us to carve out time each day to spend with God in real and meaningful ways. Maybe this Lent you've given up something for the past several weeks, chocolate or a game on the phone or Facebook or something else, but something that perhaps you have, as you have looked for that thing or longed for that thing, has reminded you to spend time with God in prayer and in repentance. Or perhaps it's been a season where you have tried a new kind of spiritual practice, journaling perhaps, or reading through a new devotional book, or intentionally reading through a particular part of Scripture. Regardless, I hope that this has been a season that you have found time to really be with our Lord. And if not, there's still a week left of Lent. You can still try to jumpstart one of those practices or try something new or grab a book of the Bible that you're going to read through this week. It's a great week, and maybe this week it'd be wonderful to start in our text today from Luke and read through the rest of the story of Holy Week. I think that would be a great practice for this week. But personally, I've really loved the way that the season of Lent has brought some different scripture texts to the forefront for me and then for us. We've looked at some passages and some books of the Bible that don't always get a lot of attention. I know that I've been excited to see the way that God has spoken to me over the past several weeks through his word, having passages and verses and even phrases just jump off the page, inviting me into what God has to say. For me, it's been that beautiful reminder, and it's a reminder that I don't think we can ever receive too much, a reminder that the Bible is God's living word and that it speaks to us right where we are. This morning, we're going to read just two passages. I know you're shocked. It's been three the last few weeks. But like we've done for all of Lent, we're going to start with a psalm. We're going to read Psalm 118, and then we'll take a look at Luke's account of the triumphal entry as Jesus enters Jerusalem, which is Luke 19, verses 28 to 40. But let me pray for us, and we will dive into Scripture together. Open our ears, O Lord, so that we can hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and strengthen our wills, that we might know and serve you better, today and always. Amen. So starting with Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And now Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Both of these, I imagine, are familiar texts. Certainly the story that we read here in Luke is a familiar text, especially on Palm Sunday. I was telling the worship committee this morning that I was having a tough time saying palm and psalm and knowing that we were reading a psalm on Palm Sunday, and I happened to get all of them correct so far. We'll see how that goes. It's possible that this psalm is actually a liturgy for a worship service, that it is a gathering of people worshiping God. And it may very well be the words spoken or sung, or a small portion of words spoken or sung at a worship service. And you see in the beginning what can very well be a call and response kind of reading, where first all of the people of Israel, the whole congregation, says, "His love endures forever." Then the house of Aaron, the priests, repeat the same phrase, "His love endures forever." And then everyone else who is present repeats the same phrase, "His love endures forever." And then we see that this call and response is followed by someone's testimony, by the psalmist's testimony. We read about the trials and the challenges happening in the life of this author of the psalm. We read about distress, and then we read about deliverance. We read about the kind of deliverance that can only come from the Lord. Deliverance not only from the hard-pressed place, but actually deliverance even from fear. And rightfully so, the psalmist goes on to talk about all the ways the Lord is greater than any person, than any prince even. And then the psalm wraps up the same way that it begins. And with the words that we hear actually from the disciples cheering in our Luke passage, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." This psalm has been one of the most popular psalms, both in Judaism and in Christianity. And I think it's easy to see why. There is such a beautiful and a full celebration of the deliverance that comes from the Lord. And for Christians, we know that that deliverance comes through Jesus Christ. One of the things that I read this week pointed out that perhaps the reason this is such a celebrated psalm is that it gives language to our celebration. And language, we know, can be such a helpful thing. Sometimes we have to be gifted the right language to accurately be able to express something. I know in my business classes, about half of, and maybe my business professors would argue this, but I feel like about half of what we spent time learning was the language of the business world. We learned all of the phrases, the words that go along to accurately describe what it is we're talking about. That's true in medicine. That's true in all kinds of areas. You're learning a whole set of language that gives you the opportunity to accurately express what it is you're talking about. And I think that that is one of the reasons this is such a celebrated psalm. This gives language to what it is we know and we experience about God. That God is a God of deliverance. Having the language of the psalms is a helpful way to both understand and then to be able to describe what it is the Lord has done for us. And I know that that was particularly true of this psalm for Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. One of the things that I read again this week said this: "High above the plains and the rolling hills of Bavaria in southern Germany rises the Coburg Castle. Today's visitor walks into the courtyard to find a massive sculpture of Martin Luther holding a Bible. Luther hid out in the Coburg Castle from the end of April to the beginning of October in 1530. He wrote a good many pieces for publication during these months, including extensive commentaries on Psalms 117, which I really kind of wonder how extensive that could have been. Like, the psalm is this long. Like, it's like an eighth of what we read this morning. But, I mean, if anyone can do it, Martin Luther could do it. But he also wrote an extensive commentary on Psalm 118, our psalm this morning. And on the wall of the room where he did his writing was painted in large letters a quotation from Psalm 118, verse 17, in German. And I'm not going to even try. But the restored quote can still be seen on that wall, and it translates, "I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord." This psalm Luther named as his favorite. The 118th psalm Luther named as his favorite. And this text, verse 17, became his personal motto: "I shall not die, but I shall live, and recount the deeds of the Lord." No doubt, Martin Luther recognized that a huge part of what this psalm was getting at was not only the amazing things that the Lord has done, but the duty then to recount those things, to share what the Lord has done. And that, for me, ties perfectly into what we read this morning in our text from Luke. I told you last week that there were words last week that jumped off the page at me. The words, see, I am doing a new thing. And don't worry if you didn't share with me last week what it is that the Lord is doing new with you. You can still come tell me today, or you can email me, or you can call me, because I would love to hear it. But the week that, or this week, verse 40 from this reading jumped off the page at me. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. I love it. I love it right there on the surface, just reading those words that way, before doing any digging or any further reading. Because you see, the disciples were doing exactly what Psalm 118 talks about. The disciples were declaring what it is the Lord had done. They were declaring, in fact, that Jesus is God. And this, for me, is a really intriguing part of this triumphal entry Palm Sunday story, the way that the disciples were the ones leading the shouts of praise. We think, or perhaps assume, that somewhat spontaneously, or simply at the sight of Jesus, a huge crowd of people in Jerusalem who are there for the Passover festival begin to show this incredible adoration for Jesus. We read about the crowds in each of the other Gospels. They declare his divinity. They shout his praises. But Luke is the only one who tells us that the crowd actually gets its start singing these praises, shouting these praises, by the crowd of disciples. It is the crowd of disciples who start off these shouts of praise. They are the catalyst for the greater crowd. And the crowds we read about in all of the other Gospels are urged on, we find out from Luke, by the other disciples. Reading on this passage in Luke, Daryl Bach, who's a New Testament professor and a scholar at Dallas Seminary, writes, "The disciples, by echoing the words of the psalm, declare that Jesus is the sent king who comes with authority given by God. They are also filled with joy as they note the presence of peace and the glory in heaven." For disciples, this is a great moment. For the crowds, as the other Gospels tell us, this is a time to join in. The crowd that the disciples are leading here in their shouts of praise are the same crowds who just days later will be shouting, "Crucify him." And certainly there were individuals who continued to follow Jesus after this triumphal entry. But also certainly there were others who just got swept up in what was most exciting here. This crowd is a fluid group, moved by maybe the most intriguing thing or the safest thing or the loudest voice nearby. And Bach continues, "The crowd's praise of Jesus is lukewarm and follows the lead of other, more sincere followers. The popular masses are always fluctuating in their understanding of Jesus." But the last verse in the passage that we read, those words that jumped off the page, is something that does not fluctuate. We see that, and we know that, and Jesus tells us that. When the Pharisees ask Jesus to stop his disciples from making this display, from shouting praise at Jesus in a way that declares that he is in fact God, Jesus says, "It doesn't matter if I were to stop them. If they didn't say it, someone else would. And if someone else didn't, even the rocks would cry out." Jesus tells the Pharisees that the truth that the disciples are proclaiming is exactly that, truth. Even nature knows that. Rocks know that. Ending the shouting does not end the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, come to earth for the salvation of us. And in the knowledge of that truth, the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, is a day where we are offered the opportunity to decide whether we're going to be one of the disciples leading these shouts of praise, exclaiming the words of Psalm 118, sharing what God has done and the deliverance and love and forgiveness that comes only through Christ, or whether we are simply going to be one of the crowd, one who hops on board, shouting Hosanna and shouting praises to Jesus here in the church because it's safe, because it's easy, because that's what everyone else here is doing, but be easily swayed when we walk out the doors and are in a different situation. Jesus offers each and every one of us the opportunity to make that decision. And so this week as we walk towards the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, I invite you to find ways to lead the crowd in your praise of Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks, for you are good and your love endures forever. We know, Lord, it is better to trust you than to trust in people. We know, Lord, that you and you alone can deliver us from any trial. God, we thank you for your love, for your perseverance in pursuing us with your Son, Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you give us the strength not to simply be a part of the crowd, but to truly be a follower of your Son, leading the crowd this week, declaring in bold ways the truth of who you are and the good news that we celebrate in the resurrection. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.